Well, we appreciate being able to all of us gather together. It's such a privilege to do that. We thank the Lord for His Spirit, and we pray that He'll meet with us again this morning. We just fully depend upon Him to give His Word. Last week we took a little diversion from a little series, I guess, that we just felt like the Lord had been giving us, kind of one step at a time mostly. And speaking of a building of God in our life, the Lord, and maybe we'll just start again in 1 Corinthians 3 and 10 and speak very quickly about a few little things here. We've read this scripture three different Sundays, started with this, and I feel like the Lord's given me a few things to add to it again this morning. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Paul preached to the people and laid a foundation, and that was Christ. I believe if we all build our life on Christ, all the things the Word says, all the things that it is, if we build on that foundation, we'll do well. There's a lot of ideas for religion in the world, and we know this. There's people that just decide, I want to do better. You know, that's a good desire, but it can be an evil thing if it's in place of building on the foundation. We want to do good things. We want to do better and better. We want to live just like the Lord wants us to. But we want to build on the foundation. And Paul said, I've laid that foundation. And he said, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. It's our only hope of a solid footing in this life is to build on the Lord. That's our only hope, folks. There isn't another hope. That's our hope, is to build our lives on the Lord, on our experience with Him and on His teachings. And so I want to think about the thought again today a little bit, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. You know, this morning I was thinking about a building and how that usually when you build a building, there's some kind of a plan together. Some people may have it in their head, but most of them have it on a piece of paper. And there's a plan for that. And you know, we are building our lives. You know there's a plan for our life too? It's called the will of God. And I just want us to think a little bit this morning about planning our lives and building our lives after the will of the Lord, and that being our focus in this life. You know, I believe that if we will build according to the will of God, I believe everything else that we would like to happen in the will of God, I believe those things that the Lord wants to happen will happen in our lives if we build according to His will. That is His plan. And this morning, I was just thinking a few things, a few thoughts about the will of God. There is safety in the will of God. There is safety in the will of God. You know, a lot of people, it's important to us, isn't it, that we be safe. It's important to us that we make it in sometime. It's important for us to protect our experience with the Lord. You know, I have seen people that take safety into their own hands. And sometimes they take guns. And we went to Honduras a couple of years ago. And on the island there is some people that took their safety into their own hands. I believe they were drug runners. And they were, in fact, I remember now. And they built this huge complex with these tall walls and one of the brothers there knew some of these people, and they allowed us to come in and have service there. But we had to drive up, and we had to wait for clearance and everything before we could go into this place. But, you know, what I found out was that in spite of all their guns and everything else, several members of their family has ended up getting killed. It isn't safe. It wasn't safe to take their safety into their own hands. You know, I think about the things that we so desire in our life. I remember when we were first starting out with our children, and I had some things in my mind that I felt like I just really felt I needed to happen to raise our children if we wanted them to serve and fear the Lord. My mother-in-law told me, and I've mentioned this before, but she told me, she said, you're safest right where the Lord wants you to be. That's where you are safest. And so this morning, I just want to bring out some of those kind of thoughts before we begin thinking about the will of the Lord and whatever His will is in our life. That's where we are safest. That's where we are safest in the plans and desires that we want in life. I thought about marriage. You know, we all want our marriage to be really good. We want to have a good, happy home and relationship with our companion, don't we? But you know, I think if we focus our life, I believe in focusing on those things. I believe we ought to pay real special attention to those things. But you know, we cannot worship even our family. We cannot even put that ahead of the will of God. We will be safest in our life. I believe we'll be happiest in our life for the most part. I know we may not experience things that people experience in the world, but I will tell you what, when it comes down to final satisfaction and love of life, I don't think you'll beat giving your life to the Lord wholly and completely. You know, I was thinking about focusing on the will of the Lord, building our house. Paul said, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. The Lord wants us to build a life that will stand, that will be pleasant, I believe, that will bring about good things, good results in our life. And so he said, take heed how you build. Don't just build any old way. Don't just throw a wall up wherever you want it. It's liable to be in the middle of your bedroom. Now, we think that would be funny in this life. That would be absurd. But we do that as people if we're not careful in our spiritual life. We get right in the way of what God is trying to build in our life. He has plans in mind for us. He has a will in mind. He sees our life, and He would like to put things in place in such a way that it is a blessing, not just now, but clear to the end of the way. The Lord wants to put things in place in our life so that it is that kind of blessing. But we have to trust the will of God in order to do that. One scripture says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Depart from evil and fear the Lord. You know, it is many people in their own mind, they become wise in their own eyes, in their own mind. They decide, I don't want to be humble in this situation. I'm going to take my way. This is my thing. I'm going to drive for it. You know, that's a sure path to problems and destruction. But you know what? When we take the will of God, the will of God, I'm talking about not just something that we want to do that's hard or something like that. But when we take the will of God, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, He couldn't have been talking about everything in the flesh because He went on to go to the cross. But you know, He did that for the joy that was set before Him. You know, Jesus suffered there. But you know what He's been doing ever since that little bit of suffering He did there? He's been rejoicing ever since. And so this morning, I just want us to think about taking heed to the way that we build, that we don't just throw walls up in our life, that we don't just plan things in our building ourself, but we consider what is the will of God. I believe we want a happy marriage. I have watched many times. I have watched people throw up barriers to that in their life. In their own mind, they decided, this is what I'm going to do. This is the way I'm going to, this is my place. This is my, whatever they thought. And they threw up barriers to the very thing God wanted to produce in their life. And so this morning, I believe if we'll take the Lord's way, He'll build into our lives some things that will be a blessing to us. We want our children to follow the Lord. We want that so bad. I believe our best shot for that is to stay right in the center of God's will. If we try to do in our mind, well, I don't have time to do God's will because I want to do this, this, and this to make sure that my family never sees a day of suffering. You know what? A little day of suffering might make them appreciate the cross a little more when it comes their time to pick up the cross. There's some things that the Lord wants us to build into our life. A little bit of sacrifice in our life. We see that. I don't want to sacrifice. I don't feel like sacrificing. You know what the Lord will teach us to do if we will let His will be done in our life? He'll teach us to sacrifice. He'll teach us to lay down our will and our desire and to take up His will and His desire. And what it will produce is, it will not only produce in us, but it will produce also in those around us a desire, I believe, to live for the Lord if we will do that. There's nothing like seeing the hand of the Lord work and bless in different ways. And it is by us asking the Lord, Lord, build my structure. Build my house because I want it to be built in such a way that when I get down to the end of the way, there's not something crossing my path into heaven. A lot of times people decide somewhere along the way to bring something into their life. And they put this as a piece of their life that makes it very hard later to make it to heaven. Sometimes people get into marriage situations that make it very difficult. They bring that into their life and then they come to the end of the way. They want to make it to heaven. They see right there, my time has come. I'm getting close to the end. And here is this big thing in my life. I brought it in. I set it right in between me and the will of God. The Lord wasn't able to build the way He wanted to build because I brought this thing into my life. You know, this morning, I just want us to take heed. Take heed to the way that we build thereupon in our life. Priorities. I was thinking about that and how that, you know, it's a struggle for men and women all their life, I believe, mostly, to get priorities just like they ought to be. I won't say all the way, but it's always somewhat of a struggle because new things come up. And you know where we'll be safest? To put our priorities right in the will of God. Lord, I want to know just what You want me to do. That's exactly what I want to know. If You'll help me to know that, that's all I want to do is Your will. You know, we're safe when we come to that place. That's a place that will take us into heaven. It'll take us over the threshold when our time comes. You know, I believe that we'll see things operate smoother and in balance when we're in the will of God. I have seen many, many times when things was out of balance and out of the will of God, and people suffer and suffer and suffer and suffer. You know what? The Lord wants us to ask Him, what is Your will in this matter? And then get the grace to do it. I think a lot of times we know the will of God, but if we don't get the grace to do it, you know, we will suffer and suffer and suffer. And when the Lord wants us, He doesn't want us to be bumped along because of our own faults and flesh. If we suffer, it ought to be for the will of God and not for our own troubles that we have. I want to read another scripture I've been thinking about a lot lately. And we read it this morning in Sunday school, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. We're all familiar with it. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I have been meditating on that a little bit. This is part of the will of God, as is so many other things. But you know, if we're not careful, we can fall into a state of complaining, a state of dissatisfaction. But the Lord gave us some instruction here, and he said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and concerning me. This morning, I've been challenged by that. I want to never again not do this. I want to give thanks in the midst of everything the Lord allows in my life because he allowed it. And who are we to say, Lord, why did you allow that? That's what we're saying when we complain. But I will tell you what this will do for us. This is a building block in our life that the Lord would like to be there. I will tell you what hinges on this. And maybe we don't realize it all the time. We go around, we meditate on the things we wish we were different. We meditate on the things that others may have. It may be other situations. And we think about all those things if we're not careful. But the Lord said, in everything give thanks. In everything. Now, I don't believe that the Lord wants us to thank him that Satan did some work in somebody's life. Someone committed suicide. That's terrible. But I want to tell you something. Whatever situation we're in, if we just still keep a thankful spirit to God, Lord, I'm going to thank you. You put me in this situation. You made me a part of this family. Whatever you did, Lord, I'm going to thank you. I'm going to maintain a heart of thanksgiving. I will tell you some of the things that will happen if you will do that. It'll make you a more pleasant person to be around and me. We want people, I'm just speaking a little bit plainly and kind of simply here this morning. But you know, we want people to be friendly. We want people to like us. You know what? We can help that by being pleasant to be around. Have you ever walked up to somebody? I know a man in this town. He doesn't come to service here, so I know a man that his reputation is that if you walk up to him and begin to talk, I'm telling you, I've never talked to him yet that within 20 seconds he was not complaining and griping big, really, about something. You know, he's unpleasant to be around. Everybody says the same thing. I would not repeat some of the things I've heard people say to me about him in this place. But you know, the Lord wants us to have a pleasant disposition. It'll make our marriage better. And we think, but Lord, why did you let this happen? I will tell you what, the Lord has grace that's greater than the trials that we're in. And we have to humble ourselves to get a hold of that. Lord, put this into my life. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Lord, teach me this thing. Put this piece of the building into my life. Help me to learn it well. We want those around us to be affected for the Lord. They're not going to be if we're complaining all the time. They're going to simply say in their heart, I don't want anything to do with that kind of religion. That's what they say in their heart. And so we want these things. But the Lord wants to put things into our life that will produce it. We want to be ready to meet God when we die, don't we? Well, I will tell you what has to happen for the enemy, usually, to win somebody to his side. Whether it's war or whatever, he has to first make them dissatisfied with where they're at. Lots of times, that is what has to happen. And so, an enemy begins to work hard on this little thing right here. I got to make them dissatisfied with where they're at. I've got to make them think that it's better somewhere else. You know what? If we take the will of God, this little thing, we're thinking the will of God, some big something. No, this little thing right here, it's life-changing. All kinds of things hang on this right here. In everything, give thanks. Lord, help me to humble myself to it. Help me to humble myself to your mighty hand. I am where I am in life, and I can't change that right now. And I thank the Lord has given us some good things. I'm not speaking of myself in a negative situation. I have a wonderful home. God gave it to us, I will tell you that. But we had to humble ourselves to some things. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God to the Lord. And I will tell you something. The Lord will put this in place. And then He'll make out of us the same thing that Paul said. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You know what value that is? A man that is contented. A man that is contented in life. You know how valuable that is? You know how much money people would give for that? Paul said, I've learned it. I've learned it. The Lord taught it to me. Open up our hearts and humble ourselves to it. Lord, I refuse to be a complainer. I'm complaining against you when I do that. But I'll build myself. I'll build my life this way. I'll build it on the foundation. And I'll tell you what else it'll do. It will help make you safe against the attacks of the enemy. What did we say the enemy has to do most of the time? He has to tear down what somebody has before he can offer them something else. You don't let the devil tear it down in your life. Keep thankful. Keep a thankful spirit, and the enemy will not be able to tear your walls down. He won't be able to tell you, come on over here, because you're contented. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am. Paul put this into his life. He had to humble himself to some things. I wonder if the first beating he took, when they beat him and his back was bleeding, and he was in trouble, and he was hurting and aching, I wonder if the enemy came to him, is this really worth it? You think the enemy would have said something like that to Paul? Yeah, I believe he would have. But you know what Paul learned? Humble myself to it. It's the will of God in my life. The Lord put me there. He told me to go to that place and preach, and they beat me for it. But you know what? I don't find anything in here of complaint from Paul. I don't find anything in there. I don't find any in his writings, all the writings he had. I don't find him complaining. I only find him giving glory to God. His life being anointed by the Spirit of the Lord. We want our life to be anointed by the Spirit of the Lord. Lord, build into my building those things that you know that I need. It takes a great humbling of ourselves to allow God to build into our life the things that He wants to. I was thinking about Jesus in John 4 and 34. I love this scripture because this tells the meat of Jesus' thoughts about doing God's will. Jesus saith unto them, John 4 and 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus said, that's my meat. That's what sustains me, is to do his will in our life. That's what God wants to put into our life. His will, not our will, not what we're thinking. But after I get myself all set up, then I'll give myself to the work of God. Oh, you won't do that. Don't deceive yourself with those kind of thoughts. Just say it from the beginning. I'm not willing to do the will of God. I'm not willing to do His work. If God calls and we put Him off and we tell Him someday when everything's right, I will do that. But I want to work hard. I want to get myself set up. No, we won't. We won't do that. It's very unlikely. We do the will of God all the way. It becomes our meat. My meat, the thing that I enjoy meat. You know what? When our meat is to do the will of God, then like Jesus, I believe the Lord will have his way in our life. Could it be? Now, Jesus' life was a life of sacrifice. Could it be that a life full of sacrifice could be a very satisfying life? Would you say Paul's life was full of sacrifice? You know, the Lord didn't call everybody to be a Paul. But those that he has called to be a Paul, he'll make their life satisfying as well. Even though he had to give up the comforts of life as he knew it before he got saved. When he was popular, when he was a man of prestige and he had money and all of those things. Paul was part of the Sanhedrin. He was part of the ruling class. And you know, a very special place in Jewish society. Paul was a very educated man. He said, I count all those things but dung. Because he wanted to follow the will of God in his life. Happiness. Seeking happiness can be elusive. We met a man one time. We brought him home with us. This was when we were young. And he was hitchhiking. And we picked him up and started talking to him. He was a young man. He was traveling the United States. And he said he was going to find himself. He was headed to California. And he didn't know where all he was going to go. He was just going to go wherever he wanted to go. I promise you, that man did not find himself unless he found the Lord. That is the will of God. You know, what we need to look for is not those things that we wish for in life. Happiness, prosperity, the things that people want. An easy life. What we want to look for is the will of God. Oh, sweet will of God, thou hast girded me round. I'd like to find that. If somebody can find that number for me, I want to read that verse. Oh, sweet will of God, thou hast girded me round. You know, the Lord, I believe, wants to bless us. I was thinking about this little story over here in John 6, and it starts in verse 5. Do you remember the little boy? Excuse me. John 6 and 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus already knew what he wanted to do. Jesus already knows what he wants to do in our life too. And this he said to prove him. Now verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. There's no way we could buy enough bread for all these. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here, young boy, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Where did they get them? Jesus called for them from this little boy. This little boy. And he asked for them, and the boy gave them to him. I wonder what the little boy was thinking. He probably didn't know what Jesus was going to do. I think this is the first time this happened. But the boy gave them to Jesus. And you know, the miracle that followed that is an outstanding example for us. What is Jesus calling for in our life? His will, what is he calling for in our life? Let's give it to him. Let's give it to him. Jesus said, make the men sit down. Okay, and when Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men which, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. I just want to challenge us this morning. When Jesus calls for something from our life, we might think it's all we have left. Just give it to him. Whatever it is. It may be 5 barley loaves, or it may be our reputation, or it may be something else. I don't know what all it might be. But I will tell you, when this got done and Jesus took that into his hands and he blessed it, it fed the multitude, and there was 12 baskets left over of what was left. And then that's not all. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. We want people to believe. I will tell you, if we want people to believe, let the Lord have what he wants in our life. And I'm not talking about one thing. I'm talking about our life, our time, the Lord calls, Lord, I can't, there's no way I can't say anything. I can't speak. If the Lord puts his hand on you, I'm not talking about somebody. If the Lord puts his hand on you to give a little something, give it to him. This little thing this little boy gave, this little basket full of dinner that he had, which wasn't all that much, the people believed when they saw what God did and how he blessed it. The Lord wanted this kind of a miracle to happen. The Lord wants miracles to happen in our lives as well. But we've got to be willing to let him build his will into our life. Lord, what is your will in my life? I want you to have it. What is your will? I want you to have it, Lord. You know, I thought about the 3 Hebrew children. And I won't take the time to read that. But it's in Daniel 3. And it speaks of where the king, Nebuchadnezzar, made a great image. And it says, whose height was 60 cubits, something like 90 feet high. And the breadth thereof 6 cubits, something like 9 feet wide. A very large thing. It was intimidating. And the king told them to come and to bow down to this thing. And these men were giving up their life for this thing, just because they wouldn't bow. I wonder how many Israelites was there that said, I'm just going to bow in my heart. I mean, I'm not going to bow in my heart. I'm just going to bow, but I know this thing's nothing. I'm bound because they make me bow. I wonder how many of them were there that said that. But here's 3. They gave their life for it. They didn't know what God was going to do, but they knew it was the will of God that they stand in the face of that. And when the king was so angry, intimidating. Here was this fire and he was so angry. And he calls them up. And you know what they said? We're not careful. King, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. And they told him plainly, and I'm saying it in my own words, we're not going to bow to this thing. We're not going to do it. And you know what? That cost them their life. Because he went over and he said, you build that, make that furnace 7 times hotter than it was wont to be heated, it said. So hot that when the men threw them in, it killed them, the ones that threw them in. There was no hope for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but they were in the will of God. You think they were not safe? I will tell you what would have happened had they said, we're going to bow. And God told them, don't bow to idols. He had always told his people, don't bow to idols. You know what? They would have had their conscience marked. Their life would have been marked. Their testimony would have been marked. You know, this morning, I want to just encourage us. We don't go jump in a flame of fire for no reason. But if our testimony comes to the place that it is the will of God, that whatever we do is going to cost us greatly, let's just give it to the Lord. I'm committed to your will, Lord. I'm committed. I believe we're safest. Had they not bowed, I mean, had they bowed and had they went on through their life and not been ready to meet God one day, it probably would have been faith destroying to them. I just want to encourage us today. Oh, the will of the Lord. We want the Lord to have His way in our lives. I believe that is where the blessing is in the will of the Lord, letting Him have His way. I'm just going to summarize a couple of other things because we're almost out of time. But I remember the story of Paul as he was going on the way to Damascus. We spoke of him. I want to read two verses in Acts 9 and verse 3 and 4. It says here, "And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And in 15 and 16, it says, But the Lord said unto him," you know, the Lord struck Paul down and he spoke to him right there. Now, you know, Paul didn't have to yield. Yes, he was under the hand of God, but I've seen a lot of people under the hand of God, trying to deal with them, trying to speak to them. But Paul yielded. In verse 15 it says, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." You know, that was the will of God concerning Paul. He was going to send him abroad. He was going to send him before kings. He was going to send him before the Gentiles and the children of Israel. And he said, "I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And God brought glory to his name all the way through. And still is from his life. You know, saints, this morning, the Lord wants to bring glory from our lives. Do we want joy in our life and happiness? It don't come from seeking it. You look at the rich men of the world today, the movie stars of the day. I wouldn't trade with any of them. I believe that if they knew the things that count, there would be a bunch of them lining up to trade with some of us, if they could only realize that. But it's elusive. People try to seek it and they don't find it. God wants us to have good things in life. Paul said he'd learned to be contented. You know how valuable that is, to be contented, to be happy in life. Right where I'm at, it's a work of God in our life. Just want to encourage us, let the Lord produce that in our life. It takes a humbling. We have to say, okay, I will let go of my grumbling, my bitterness, my feelings. I will give those to you, Lord. And that takes a real humbling of ourselves. But the fruit of it is that God begins to build into our building of our life something that will stand the test of time and something that will take us when our time comes to die. It will take us through over that threshold. I had some other things I was thinking about, but Lord, teach us to humble ourselves before you. The Lord's life was full of purpose. His life had meaning. His life had satisfaction. You think because the Lord suffered, his life didn't have meaning? His life was a beautiful life. You look at what the Lord lived, and he suffered more than we will if we live for the Lord, most likely. His life was short-lived, but he suffered a lot during that time. I was thinking, before I get away from this, I do want to mention just a few other things, I guess. If you read history, the Wesley's mother, you know, she had a lot of children. I don't remember, 15 or 18, what was it? How many children did the Wesley's mother have? But she took it upon her. That was the will of God for her, to train those children. She couldn't go to some foreign place and do all the great things that some famous person would do. But she could do her job that God gave her to do. And it brought forth much fruit. You know, the Lord wants our life to be like that. I was thinking also, sometimes we want to do something so bad in our life. I want to do this. I want to work for the Lord in this way. Give it to the Lord. There was a man in the Bible named Ahimaaz. And there was a great battle. And David, he was stationed, I believe, on a wall in another city. He was waiting to hear news from this battle. And Ahimaaz wanted to take him news. Absalom had been killed, his son. And Ahimaaz wanted to go tell David the news so bad. He said, "Can I run? Can I run?" And the one in charge, I believe it was Joab, said, No, not today. I'll let you run another day, but not today. He wanted to run so bad. He kept begging, "Can I run?" Finally, Joab said, "Okay, run." And he ran. But he told this fellow named Cushai, he told him, he said, "I want you to go and tell David what had happened today." And he told him about, you know, he knew what had happened. Absalom had been killed. The battle was won. The Lord had blessed them. And Cushai went, and Ahimaaz beat him. And when he got there, David said, "How goes the battle?" And Ahimaaz was, "Oh, it goes well," or whatever. And he said, "Well, how is it with Absalom?" And he said, "Well, I saw a tumult, but I don't know what it was." He got there. He did all the running. He outran the first, but he didn't have anything to say. You know, this morning, the Lord wants us to work in His will and in His way. Cushai got there and he said, how is it? Cushai told him what had happened. He had the word that the Lord wanted to give. You know, this morning, the Lord wants our life to be something that is effective. He wants us to wait on Him until our day comes, until our time comes. That whatever it is in our life, maybe we want to outrun Him. We may want to be a missionary. I've got to do this. I'll tell you what we'll do best at. We'll do best at staying right where God wants us right now and doing His will. Whatever it is that God wants us to do, He wants us to be faithful at that post. Are we a father? Be a good father. Do a good job. Teach your children about the Lord. Have family devotions at night. Teach them by example how to live for God, how to get in touch with the Lord, how you trust the Lord in hard situations. That's the will of God concerning you. And, you know, whatever it is that comes along, the Lord wants us to learn the lessons of life. He has the blueprint for our life. And if we will let Him, He will build things into our life that will be the greatest blessing possible. Can we improve on the work of God? Can we look at the heavens and say, "Lord, if you would have made the stars closer, we could have seen more of them"? Could we look at the work the Lord has made and said, "If you would have built this body a little different, we wouldn't have trouble with this part of it at times"? God made it right. He made it just like He wanted it made. I wouldn't want to be the one trying to help Him improve on it. But we will do that in our life. We'll try to help Him improve on our life. We'll try to do it our way and tell the Lord, "Now bless it, bless me." When the Lord is saying, wait a minute. I want to teach you some patience. I want to teach you some thanksgiving in your heart. Because I have something I want you to do. And when I send you, I want it to hit the mark. And if you don't learn this now, I can't even send you. And so the Lord is looking. He has that blueprint for us. Let's build our life in the blueprint of God's will. Seeking Him, looking to Him. "Lord, teach us your ways and show us your paths and lead me in the way of life everlasting." Did somebody find that song? What's the number? 55. I just want to read one verse of it here. It's the first verse of this. It says, "O sweet will of God, Thou hast girded me round like the deep moving currents that girdle the sea. With omnipotent love is my poor nature bound, and this bondage to love sets me perfectly free. You know, the world don't know of the love that God wants to put in our hearts. But those that have experienced it, I believe, can sing with this song. O sweet will of God, thou hast girded me round. If we've submitted to the will of God in our life, the things that we long for, He wants to give us many of those things. The peace in our heart, the contentment in life, the joy of the Lord. The Lord wants to give us those things. It's in the sweet will of God. It's in submitting ourselves to His will and to His word and to His ways. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My soul is now free, for the precious blood of Jesus cleanseth even me. Maybe we can sing that song for dismissal and look at those other verses that come behind it. Lord, teach us your ways. Y'all pray for me.